That's my weeping after what took place yesterday. And I don't know what I'm more upset at. And quite frankly, I never do this. And in the almost 20 years I've been on the air in Philadelphia, I've never, ever complained about the officials until today. Because the officials yesterday, Cleet Brinkman, Cleet, were god-awful and absolutely stole the game. Stole it. Now, are the Eagles a great team? No. They're the Eagles. Did Carson Wentz again struggle mightily? Yes. All that is true. I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl team. I'm not even saying they're better than the Cowboys right now. I'm not saying that. But yesterday, those officials robbed that game. Completely stole the game. Started with the opening kickoff and the touchdown that Dallas Goedert scored. It continued throughout. It was a horrifically officiated game. Now, the Cowboys amassed they ran a record third most in the history of the planet, 99 plays. I'm not saying the Eagles didn't have a part of it, but Jason, I can't get over the calls that were made.
Well, let's just start individually with them. The call that started the game, it was illogical to you have to use common sense and a little bit of if you're going to send things to New York for a replay, how about a little case of deductive reasoning? Like, okay, it wasn't clear because there was a pileup, but when the pileup is only players in a green jersey, like, let's use a little deductive reasoning here and isn't it supposed to get the call right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Come on.
And here's the thing. They killed the call three ways from Sunday. Mm-hmm. All right. They first killed the call.
They screwed it up.
By missing it.
Yep.
There's ample amount of officials on the field and they couldn't see an obvious fumble.
It wasn't even close.
So yeah. They screwed it up there. Then they screw it up by blowing the damn whistle. You're taught that if you think there's a fumble, let it play out. This way, if you're wrong or when you're wrong, you could say, well, there's a clear-cut recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So they screwed it up twice that way. Yep. They blew the call and they blew the whistle.
Yep. They did. And look, I know it's frustrating. I know Malcolm Jenkins is going to get a nice letter from the league with a bill. Because of what he said, that if they're up in New York, they got to lay off the bottle, which we all can appreciate. I like you. I don't like to blame officials. I really don't. They were a big part of this game. There were some bad calls that the Cowboys took, too. The roughing the passer on Carson Wentz when he basically went down to tie his shoe for him was ridiculous, too. The game was officiated like absolute dog-ass.
Yes.
It was terrible.
Yes.
But that being said, the Eagles need to make plays. Yes. They didn't make plays.
No, I agree. And again, I'm not.
It's freaking Amari Cooper.
I'm not only blaming the officials. But I need to start here because I need to purge. I am in a rotten mood, all right? I'm in a bad mood, like I'm sure the rest of the Delaware Valley is. Now, there's a ton of blame to go around. But I need to start there, dude.
I get it. You want to exercise it.
Because you can say all you want, but that touchdown to Goddard, if it's allowed, changes the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes the game.
Yeah.
The Eagles stopped Dallas on their final drive. Before overtime.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that happens again.
Yeah.
And then they get the ball back and there's enough time for them to go down and score.
Yeah, here's what you don't know. You don't know the trickle-down effect of them screwing up the opening call, and you don't know the trickle-down effect of them
correct.
On the Goddard call. You just don't know.
Momentum.
Yeah.
And they were huge calls.
We're playing from ahead.
Not to mention in overtime when you pick up the flag.
Yeah.
What that's
a
mystery?
The holding call? What the? I don't get it.
Like, there's no flag on the play. There's no flag.
Then why'd you throw it?
And you know what? Dude, I hate this stinking team, all right? Because 2 weeks ago on Thanksgiving, did you watch the game?
Yeah.
Did you see the clear-cut helmet-to-helmet on Jordan Reed, who has had his career hampered by concussion?
Yep,
did you
and
see
nothing.
The Jalen Smith crack on that end? They're nothing.
Nothing.
All right, did you see? You watched the game against the Saints?
Yep.
Jalen Smith again!
Yep.
No call.
Oh, we got one yesterday on an extra point attempt.
Unreal.
With the long snapper.
Unreal.
You know?
But you know what? I'll never forget that place, that building. And it was the Lions. You remember last time Lions made the playoffs? And they won their first game. They went into Dallas and played. And they were about to ice the game. Stafford, I don't forget anything.
Is this Stafford Megatron?
To Calvin Johnson,
yeah.
Correct. And it was a mugging.
Yeah.
Right? It was a mugging. And they picked up the pass interference penalty.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand.
It happens in that place all the time.
Yeah. I don't understand how you can just pick up a flag.
If it was thrown for a reason. Russia.
Yeah. It is. It's absurd. And look, the first half of the game, the Eagles, I mean, to go into halftime down 6-0 was a feat unto itself. The fact that Dallas moved up and down the field and only scored 6 points, and that you were in that game at 6-0 at halftime with as poorly as they played. And then you come out in the second half, they did some good things offensively, but you got to play a full game. You got to play a full 60. You know what I mean? They got to be better. Again, in the first quarter, they come out. I mean,
yes, you're
just
right.
Horrible.
You're right.
Yeah, they get
a
first down on the first series, and then they go three more out, you know, and then they have to punt. And of course, you know, on third down, what's the play call? It's another freaking screen pass.
Yes.
Where was Darren Sproles? Why wasn't he used more in the game? Why did Dallas give up a number one pick for Amari Cooper, and he's changed the dynamic of their team tenfold? Golden Tate. What a waste of a trade that was.
Yeah.
An absolute waste.
Yeah.
They go down the field finally to Nelson Aguilar, who makes a great play. But go down the field. They don't go down the field.
They hadn't gone down the field at all. They still run the RPOs. Carson is a mess.
I saw a freaking option, Anthony, a running back option to the sideline with a quarterback who is 11 and a half weeks.
First of all, that play.
I mean, months removed.
That play is horrible, right? It's done in the NFL.
You can't play in the NFL.
It's done in the NFL. It's already done. The place is a terrible, terrible
place.
Andre Ware
in college. You know what I mean? Like, give me a break.
So, and Carson's a mess, right? I mean, Carson's a flat out, he's tight. His clock's off in the pocket.
The mechanics look terrible.
He missed guys down the field. You got to help him. And running read options doesn't help him.
No.
And RPOs don't help him. They don't help him. They help Nick Foles. You know what helps Carson? Spreading them out, letting them gun.
Yeah, and rhythm.
How about a hurry up? Where's the hurry up?
Yeah, why can't we go to a 3 or 5 step drop and just get the ball out? Why do we have to go through all these extra motions with Carson Wentz? You're right. That was instituted for Nick Foles, not Carson Wentz.
They're not absolved. Now, you know, the defense.
Carson overthrew the guys and.
No, he was horrible.
He's horrible first half.
He was tight.
He's not stepping into throws.
No, and he's not. He's like, again, he's a tick off of everything.
Yeah.
Down the field, like, there's a couple throws that he should have made.
Look, I'm not as stunned as a lot of people are that he's played this way. Because I got ridiculed 6 ways to Sunday all season. Because I'm a firm believer, Anthony, that when you come back from a major surgery like that and you do not train for a season, but you rehab, and he was rehabbing into the season, into the regular season to get back on the field, that is an issue. The other part of it is I'm a firm believer that the confidence in the wounded area, which is his ACL, doesn't really happen until the following year. You come back that year and you look like, you know, an 80% of the player that you were. And that's what he looks like to me. So I'm not shocked by it. I'm not sitting here patting myself on the back, but for all you people that said I was a freaking idiot and that he would be fine this year, just take one hit and he'll be fine, you're wrong, because it takes time in a physical sport like the NFL. So I'm not stunned by it, but it also doesn't take him off the hook for some of the holding onto the ball too long. Your body goes into rhythm together at one point, and his body is not in rhythm with itself.
Well, it's not in rhythm. He's not in rhythm. He's not the feel of the game is what's lost, right?
Yeah.
Like, where he doesn't have a feel of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fumble, you gotta get rid of the ball.
Yeah, he didn't feel it. Bateman mentioned it.
You gotta feel the clock that's in your head. Mm-hmm. Tick, tick, ball. You know you gotta get rid of it.
He's thinking.
But you know what's funny? Is that RPO is the tick. Mm-hmm. All right? Like that, they take
a tick.
Well, it takes a tick from you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't understand why they still run that damn thing with him. It doesn't work for him.
The one throw that he had, there was a tremendous play that he made, and it was probably the one to Sproles down the right sideline. And I was like, we need more of that. That is what I'm talking about. And somebody said he wasn't thinking. Somebody tweeted me back and said he was just reacting. And when he just reacts, he's fine.
It's a great point. Great point.
Thinking on the football field,
but
not good.
Can I ask you, because I spent a week last week begging for Darren Sproles to be a huge part of the game plan. Begging for Darren Sproles to be there. To run Darren Sproles between the tackles, because he's so quick to get between the tackles that if you run right at them, you can have success. How many rushes did he have?
Darren Sproles in the game yesterday.
How many times was he involved in the pass game up until he catches the fourth down play and then the touchdown?
One rush in the game for 2 yards, Anthony. Three receptions on 3 targets. Four touches.
Now, listen, I'm a dope. I'm some idiot on the radio. But if you could see that matchup, how come that matchup wasn't employed? Wow, that caller of the week should be the guy who said, Doug, you wrote a book called Fearless.
Who said that?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't make out the voice.
I think it might have been Sielski. Kind of going back and forth about going for two.
Yeah, I would not. For the record, I thought Doug made the right call. I don't think you take the points off. If the kick was executed a little bit better, it would have been even more effective. It was effective as it was that they had the ball at the 18-yard line, not the 25.
Mm-hmm.
So it was effective. It could have been even more effective. I don't think you go for two. I don't think you boil a whole game down to
one play.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Especially when you haven't been executing flawlessly all
right.
Game.
The only way I do that is if I'm playing Alabama and I'm Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, you may
Temple.
Not. Yeah, you may not get another possession.
Yeah, I mean, it's Alabama. I'm a 15-point underdog.
Yeah. You got to go for it there. You're right. 610-632-0975. Let's riled up, by the way, coming up at the top of the hour. Let's get to TJ in South Jersey on the Fanatic. What's up, TJ?
What's up, boys?
How you doing, T? Man?
I'm not doing too well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple points. Number one, I don't think Carson played that well. I do agree with you guys. I think it's mostly on Doug. Being the coach, and like you said, setting him up for success. I don't think Doug did a good job of that.
Listen, you're right. I mean, he was not accurate for the first really 3 quarters. He didn't play well. I agree.
That was a tough one. The entire game was just god awful until like the last 5 minutes or so. But even then, I guess that's when it kind of started to get entertaining and juicy. But the whole game was terrible, and then just the officials were killing me. I couldn't believe some of the calls and some of the things that were going on.
Well, that being said, though, TJ, should the Eagles still have won the game and overcame the officiating?
I do think they still should have won the game.
I agree.
And overcame the officiating.
Yeah, I don't want to use that
I don't want to use that as a crutch. I don't think we can put all of the blame on that. I think we got to take it on the chin. I think we got to blame ourselves, essentially.
Yes, I agree.
Very rational point of view.
Except those calls were just outrageous.
And they were huge calls, huge
they
moments.
They were ridiculous. Oh, my God. They were ridiculous. Oh.
Problem is, though.
How in the world, Jason?
The problem is that even with the bad calls in the opening kickoff, is that they weren't able to do anything offensively in the first half.
Yeah.
Now, if they end up with that ball in the opening kickoff and kick a field goal there, are things different? Maybe. We'll never know, but maybe. Playing from ahead is certainly a different story, and to get that big of a play right on the first play, essentially, of the game is big. I get it. It's like the pickle juice game with the onside kick. You set a tone.
I mean, look at their plays, right? Look at their drives.
The Eagles?
Start the game. 7 plays, 36 yards, punt. 3 plays, minus 1 yard, punt. 3 plays, 8 yards, punt. 4 plays, 27 yards, fumble. Whew, man, and that's it. That's your half.
So I gave you that stat before we went to break, and let me give it to you again. NFL teams all time, the history of the NFL, the record of is 1-73 when incurring 100 penalty yards. And as I mentioned, Dallas had 11 penalties for 111, allowing 3 touchdown passes, which Carson threw 3 touchdown passes, and losing the turnover battle by 2 or more. The Eagles had 1 turnover, it was the fumble by Wentz, and there were 2 interceptions and a fumble by Dak for the Eagles to recover. The one victory occurred yesterday when the Cowboys beat the Eagles. 111 penalty yards, 3 turnovers, -2 on the day, and 3 touchdown passes by the opposition, and they still lost the game, the Eagles did. That's a staggering number.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Usually, you win a turnover battle, but you win it by 2.
Yeah. And the other team gets penalized for 111 yards 11 times.
Well, I wouldn't think. Now, again, there's a couple makeup calls in that 100 yards.
Well, the roughing the passer one was so clear.
Yeah.
I mean, he was down on the ground to basically tying Wentz's shoes.
Now, you're not supposed to go low to quarterback, but.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do anything egregious with his knee or anything, though. I mean, he was there. It wasn't like he went low. It was because he was low. It was either make the tackle low or just let him go.
Right.
Right? Right. I mean, he was down there, like, shining his shoes. He got a shine box.
Yeah, that's true.
Larry in Northeast Phillies on the Fanatic. What's up, Larry?
Fellas, I'm going to get right at it. I called last week. I talked about the Eagles running the football. I'm not going to talk about that opening kickoff. I'm trying to keep the what hair I have left. Listen, they ran the ball 10 times last night. Not enough. Clearly, they either don't have the right back, or they're not playing properly as far as getting the run game involved. They have no downfield plays in the first half. I don't know what they're waiting for. I'm sick of these dunks to Ertz. They need to start looking elsewhere. They've got playmakers. I don't know what they're waiting for to start to use them early in the game. Obviously, these D-backs, they're banged up. So, I mean, it is what it is. But look, guys, more importantly, there's a million things I could talk about. I'm like overwhelmed with things.
I know. I feel you, bro.
Okay, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here because this we're done. They're not making a playoff. We got to look forward.
Right.
Listen. There's a guy out there, okay, from the Pittsburgh Steelers that we should have on this team. They need to go out there and get this running back. They lost their starting running back. People underestimate how important it is to get a great back, and I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, you can get a running back in the 5th round. You can get a running back in the 4th round. You can get a bust D-back and a bust lineman in the 1st round. This guy is a superstar who can catch the ball out of the backfield. Carson Wentz is about to get a deal, and I think we all think that he's the kind of guy that will make that will have a Eagles happy deal where both sides win. That creates.
Listen, honestly, Larry, if you can give me Le'Veon Bell, yeah, I would love it. I just don't know.
I'd love to get a guy like that.
I hear you, brother.
Yeah, of course, you'd love to have the player.
But unfortunately, there's so many needs on this team.
Yeah, you can't spread that much cash to the QB.
That I just don't know that you can do that. You can afford it.
You're gonna have to spend a decent amount of money in free agency to fill some of these holes if you want to bounce back quick.
And you have to have a guy that can stretch the field.
You can get a running. And to his point, where he's tired of people saying you can get a running back in the 3rd round or the 4th. You can. Because we see it every year. Where was Alvin Kamara drafted? 67th overall?
Yeah,
3rd round?
I mean, you got to make sure you get him, not Pumphrey.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Because I think his point is, well, you drafted Pumphrey.
Yeah, then that's the point. It's incumbent upon Joe Douglas, the almighty Joe Douglas, who can spot talent from the moon. Yet I look at their drafts the last 3 years when Joe Douglas has been involved. I don't see a lot of hits. I see a lot of misses, and this Sidney Jones miss is a big one. And last year, they didn't have a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And their first pick in last year's draft, they picked a position in Dallas Goedert, A, to keep him away from the Cowboys. I get it, all that. But when you didn't have a first-round pick, you can't pick redundant because they already had Zach Ertz. And Dallas Goedert may be a little bit better blocker. May not be a better blocker. than Zach Ertz. I mean, geez, anybody, my kid's a better blocker at this point. But that being said, you can't draft for redundancy when you didn't have a first-round pick and then wonder why you got issues this year.
Yeah, I thought they would work them in together more.
Well, they may be good going forward. But that being said, when you didn't have the first-round pick last year and your first pick in the second round last year is of a position of redundancy, when you did lose some things...
I hear you. I get you.
You could have gone wide receiver there.
I get you. I got to
stretch the field.
I hear you. I think you're right.
Let's go to Mike and Runnymede's on the Fanatic. What's up, Michael?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to give you guys a little outside perspective because, you know, I'm a Broncos fan, but I watch every game that you guys play in.
Well, you're having a tough one, too, man. You guys went down yesterday, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a weird league, man.
It's the same thing that happened last year when we played y'all. We were like had good defense, no offense, and then the defense pooped the bed, so we weren't able to really do anything. But my thing is this. I think Doug is play calling, the creativity with the plays is non-existent this year. However, even though Wentz is coming back from that injury, if McNabb played the way Wentz has been playing, this city would be going crazy and saying, bench him, bring in Foles. But I feel like
no,
because
wouldn't.
It's Wentz, they're not, they're, nobody
no,
really
no,
wants
no,
to
no, they wouldn't. Criticism. I disagree with you. Having lived through Donovan's era, they wouldn't have done that until at post-Super Bowl. That's when they would have done that.
Yeah.
Not
in year three.
Not in year three of what he did.
But I'm just saying.
In hindsight, it's easy to say that, Mike.
But they wouldn't have done that. I mean, you know,
because
come on,
he
Mike.
Stares, he's, I guess somebody said something to him because the first half he was only looking at Ertz and no one else. He had Aguilar wide open. I believe you called that, too. He had a lot of plays where if he just dumps it to the flat, they're getting 8-plus yards, but he's staring
Well, my problem was more that he didn't go to Alshon down the field. There was no more down the field stuff. Forget about dumping it down. Everything was in a box, right? Like he needed to go down the field. What is wrong? And this is the issue, right? When you look at their, and I agree with the first thing you said, which was play design, and you look at play calling, because something's amiss. Why is he better in the second half when it starts to get desperation time than he is in the first half?
All right, it is time for Riled Up. I imagine it was humming yesterday. Did you tweet it out?
How many calls, Andrew?
143.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Jeez, Andrew had a busy morning. Well, let's get right to the business and see what came in.
I'm not even angry anymore. I think Carson is either hurt or the play calling. He does not look like an MVP candidate they was last year. We're not scoring 34 points a game that we did last season. Something's going on. I don't know if he's afraid to run, if he's afraid to plant his foot. He's so flat footed a lot. What do you guys think?
I don't know. It's been a mystery all
flat-footed
day.
Flat footed's a good term.
You know,
he's right.
Actually, yeah, flat foot, but really, I mean, not flat and planted foot. It's the problem.
It's flat on the heel. It looks like he's leaning back and using all arm.
You said it earlier, all arm. I agree with that. And that's why when you can see the difference when he's rolling out, when he rolls out, he's accurate. Last year, when he was in the pocket, he was accurate in the pocket. You remember that?
Because he was stepping into throws. Well, we got that report a couple weeks ago from Ian Rapoport that he's not been stepping into throws because he's not fully recovered. He's still dealing with the knee brace, which he'll probably shed next year. And you saw it. You watched him. The one throw in the game, I think it was in the third quarter, he made that great throw down the right sideline. And boom, he stepped into it. It was like a great rhythm to the whole thing. He stepped up in the pocket. But a lot of times you see him, he's just kind of leaning back and just chucks it with the arm. And there's not a lot of zip on it. And not to mention, and you're right about this, the sensing pressure in the pocket. When everything in your body's not in rhythm, then that's when everything's off.
Everything.
If your hands are off your legs are off your head, it's all a big mess. What's next?
Drew Jones! Good morning, Cooper! And Doug Pearson, how is tall play calling near the end? Play the six Jim Short, get the out of here!
Wow, we may have filled our beep quota already. That guy was fired up.
Yeah, I was in a different way.
What was the way you were?
I was probably bleeping the refs, and then truthfully, I might have been bleeping the play call.
Well, like,
as in, where the bleep is Sproles?
Like, I think if you're being honest, Anthony, you look at what the defense did yesterday, and you don't feel bad about that, considering that secondary.
Yeah.
You go, okay, I mean, look, it was 6-0 at halftime. I mean, the big play.
Still, Dak Prescott throws for 455 yards.
Yeah, that's absurd.
And, you know, he's not even good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an okay quarterback. He saw last night. If that was Drew Brees, it's 48-7.
Now, I will say, despite the fact that I just lauded the defense a little bit, I will say this. Does Jim Schwartz have the ability to maybe disguise a blitz a little bit?
No, he's not. That's not it. Here's where I love the defense. Fletcher Cox, Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett was awesome yesterday.
It was his best game as an Eagle.
He was incredible. He had a great game yesterday. Fletcher Cox had a great game yesterday. Brandon Graham had a really good game yesterday.
He did. You're right. It was nice to get a Brandon Graham sighting before it's too late. What's next?
Hey, y'all. This is Clint. I was the referee for y'all's game last night. I just want to say, Philadelphia, I am so sorry. You do not know how much us referees make in real life. For me to have an opportunity to have an island in the South Pacific, I just had to jump on it. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for the paycheck.
All right.
Well, as long as the check clears, Cleet.
Cletus W. Blakeman. Born June 23rd, 1964. Is a partner in the law firm of Carlson and Burnett in Omaha, Nebraska.
Ah, he's the Omaha boy. He's definitely in Jarrah's pocket.
Blakeman began his American football officiating career in the Big 12. A lot of Texas football in the Big 12.
A little too close to home, huh? Bro, Cleet.
He's a partner in the law firm. Now, this is what you look at. See, if you're going to go back to your old journalism.
How's he hiding the money?
You look back to the law firm of Carlson and Burnett in Omaha, and you find out what kind of business it does with it, maybe any companies that Jer owns. Yeah.
His law firm should have been the law firm of Cleet and Spike. You didn't know it was a shell company. Right? Cleet and Spikes. What's next?
You know what's got me riled up? These NFL officials. I can't even watch a game anymore. It's just disgusting. It's completely disgusting. They control the game from beginning to end. Let no team get any motivation. It's just disgusting. So long, NFL. I am done watching your sport.
You've been saying that forever. It's not true. Yesterday was a poorly officiated game. So it happens around the league every weekend. But still, the NFL is great. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just didn't work out in your favor yesterday. That's why we tend not to bitch about the refs, because it usually
I've never done it up until today.
Except for the Fog Bowl, which first wasn't time. On the ref. Yes. That was on the league.
I was also a teenager, so going to Fog Bowl.
No, you weren't of advanced mind at that point. Right. We were very reactionary as a teen. Were you not?
Correct.
What's next?
Wait, hold on. We don't run press coverage all year long. But when we decide to, Jim Schwartz, you put Avante Bosby one-on-one with Amari Cooper? Are you kidding me? You're a f***ing disgrace.
A couple times, too, when he had Sidney Jones on Cooper, he didn't give him any safety help.
Yeah, Corey Graham. What was Corey Graham doing on the ball?
I had enough of this Corey Graham. Ever since the 4th-and-15 play against the Titans, when he was looking at a nice set of Hooters in the stands and didn't realize where the sticks were and lost his mind, I'm done with Corey Graham. Enough. But we got no choice at this point, right?
So look at the picture you're seeing.
Who was that, Cleet?
Describe.
He looks like a pirate. He's got a patch on his eye.
That's the home of Carlson and Burnett Law Firm. Guy's got a patch Ooh. Over one eye.
What's going on
That's
here?
Cletus's law firm.
That's turning a blind eye. Gives new meaning. What's next?
I don't even know what to say. But just looking at Jason Garrett's face because he won a horrible football game, it kills me. I can't look at that box with the whole Jerry Jones family cheering.
I want me some glory hole.
Yeah. Well, they are.
It's the worst. I agree.
It does make it worse that it's the Cowboys that essentially ended their season. Two wins in the last 4 weeks over the Eagles.
Horrible.
And the Eagles have a chance to snap their neck at home when Dallas is coming off the short week. And they failed to do it.
No, that was it, yesterday. Dude. That was it.
That was the spot. Could have ended it for them.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden they're going to win the division and go into the postseason and get slaughtered. So I take some solace in that. What's next?
All right, Anthony, go ahead. Let me hear it. It wasn't his fault. Let Carson grow. It's Doug's fault. He didn't have any weapons. All this. Yeah, the Dak didn't play better than him. I didn't watch the same game as you. Come on, let me hear all the excuses. Come on.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you get some depth in your voice, and then you can call me, okay?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't hear it over the high-pitched squeal that all I heard was your voice. Wait, hold on. There's a dog that's come here. Chase, watch that dog because of his voice.
That was a little squeaky dog. Snack.
No, that's the voice. Heard the dog heard the voice.
I don't even know how to feel. This is not the season that I expected us to have. Yeah, you can blame it on the refs. I'm sure a bunch of morons are going to blame it on Carson. I don't even want to hear none of that. When you look at what happened with Rasul in that last play, it was fate that we lost.
It was fate that we lost? Is that what he said?
Yeah. You know what? It's weird, but I kind of get it. I kind of get it.
How so?
It was kind of fateful.
The way Rasul tips the ball up.
You know.
I felt bad for the kid.
No. I did too. But it was kind of fateful, wasn't it? Like, this is kind of how the year went.
Mm-hmm. Fluky, weird. The whole thing's been, it's been a bizarre year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been the opposite of last year.
It's the football gods.
Yeah.
They gave us one. Now they're going to take a couple away. Well, they better get back next year. I don't want to go through another year like this next year. I really don't.
I can't believe they didn't make the playoffs. My Lord.
Ugh.
This division. This team was getting blown up. Cowboys are getting blown up.
Yeah. And Mark Sanchez gets pulled in Washington. That team was got nothing. Giants are still a donkey team. And they're not going to win this division. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. And Dak. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, what's next?
So I follow Sidney Jones on Instagram. And every other day, every other hour, every other minute, this dude's posting videos about how he's winning on Fortnite or some other some stupid ass video game. Maybe dudes should make his priorities in the weight room and the practice field. Nobody cares about your video game stats, bro.
He's a big Fortnite guy? Yeah, you shouldn't be tweeting about or Instagramming about Fortnite during the season.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, because then you have people go, dude, I don't care about that.
Yeah, make a tackle. How about a little coverage? Turn around on that one play.
That's
where hit him right
six.
In the back.
Between the numbers. It's a big six.
Yeah, between the numbers on his back.
Right. It was a pick six.
That's crazy.
You get visual.
Isn't that a face guard penalty?
I'm surprised it wasn't called.
I mean, don't you have to turn around?
Like, you get hit square in the back. That's face guard.
Yeah, he had the arms up too, didn't he? Like, he's just, like, he was trying to block out a center from getting the post ball.
You can bitch about the referees all you want. You can bitch about this game all you want, blah, 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 blah. But the fact that was 6-6 going into this game is absolute bullshit.
All right, what's next?
What is with the offense? Carson Wentz can't throw. Receivers can't catch. Doug can't call plays. Mike Rowe doesn't know what he's doing. Like, excuse after excuse after excuse. I don't get it. Like, a million three and out. This game is ridiculous.
Hear you.
Yeah. Can't disagree. I mean, I don't have much commentary to say to these today. I agree.
Yeah. You know, we all saw it.
Yeah. It's next.
Oh, you NFL refs, you are horrible. Inconclusive on that opening kickoff fumble recovery. Really?
Stevie Wonder sing that. Y'all are terrible.
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder sing that.
Even Stevie knew that the Eagles got possession of that ball.
It's great. It's great delivery. That was great delivery.
The season was trash. Kind of like the last 37 years of my life. Except for one. Now, yeah, we were champions. But to come out the next year to look like the we've always been. Man, that ring. That trophy. I think it's time to rebuild again. Kiss my ass, Jeffrey.
What?
Emotional intelligence.
Wait, how about he goes, this year's been trash. Like the first 37 years of my life.
The season was trash. Kind of like the last 37 years of my life.
Poor guy. I feel for that guy.
The new norm. Back to the old norm. The old new norm feels a lot like the old norm, doesn't it?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.